Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish, is with me. And we go to John Hardy of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, who watches very carefully the war in Ukraine, especially the twists and turns of the Russian Federation's aggression and its counselors. And right now we leave Ukraine and head to Tehran, because recently, for reasons that are fascinating but unknown, Russia wanted us to know that Sergei Shoigu, the former defense minister in the early years of the war in Ukraine, now on the National Security Council, and very close to Vladimir Putin, the two are friends, they wanted us to know that for years, is in Tehran, ostensibly to talk to the new president of Iran. At the same time, mentioned in some news reporting is a discussion about air defense, possibly the S-300, S-400 system. But, John, a very good evening to you. Were you surprised to see Shoigu in Tehran? Were you surprised to see that Russia wanted us to know this is not a one-way street, that Iran is treated as a Home Depot? Iran is also someone to talk to on the eve of the threat against Israel. How did you regard it when you read the news, John? Good evening to you.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me back on the program. I do not think it's at all surprising that Shoigu would make the visit. Moscow and Tehran have become much closer since Russia launched its full-scale invasion of Ukraine in February 2022. The Russians have turned to Iran for Shahed one-way attack drones, among other things. Tehran has basically gained more leverage with Moscow. And Russia also has important equities in the Middle East, even though it's still, obviously focused on its war in Ukraine. Russia benefits from the current crisis in the Middle East between Iranian-backed groups and Tehran itself and Israel. At the same time, it doesn't want to see the crisis spiral into a war that would really destabilize the region on a greater level.
Malcolm?
So we've seen Russia playing what seems to be an inconsistent role. On one hand, it seems in Syria they are not restraining the Israelis and maybe restraining the Syrian response or not abetting it. And on the other hand, they were prepared to make deliveries of missiles to the Houthis and seemed to be prepared to provide assistance in their war against the West. How do you see the Russian policy, and are these inconsistencies just normal way for Russian foreign policy to be executed?
So I think with the Houthis, we shouldn't necessarily assume that Moscow was definitely going ahead with those deliveries. Putin in recent weeks has made a number of issued a number of warnings to Western countries that, hey, you've given missiles and other weapons to Ukraine. We can also arm actors or countries that are enemies of you. So providing anti-ship missiles, for example, to the Houthis could be a way to do that, to sort of cause trouble for the West in a way that they're causing trouble for Russia. Ultimately, Russia did not go through with that. We can speculate as to why. It sounds like some diplomacy from the Saudis was involved. I think it's possible that was meant more of as a threat, the Russian, potential for arming the Houthis rather than something they were going ahead with. Doing that could sort of sour relations with a number of Middle Eastern countries that Russia wants to keep on side. But it could be a way for Moscow to say, hey, United States, if you let Ukraine use attackums on Russian territory, these are the 300-kilometer range missiles that the United States has provided. If you let Ukraine do that, we can have responses of our own.
John, I've been told by correspondents that Moscow right now welcomes the trouble in the Middle East because the U.S. is distracted. And so is the EU, so is NATO. Everyone is with the threat from Tehran, with the threat from Beirut. Is that your information as well, that Russia prospers as long as the Middle East burns?
As I said earlier, I think that's true to an extent. I think Moscow certainly benefits from, as you say, the distraction of the West from, you know, away from Ukraine, makes the West focus attention on resources on the situation in Gaza or between Israel and Iran. At the same time, I don't think Moscow wants to see, for example, a full-scale Israel-Hezbollah war, or basically something that could really put the region in flames and jeopardize its position in Syria, really destabilize Syria, and basically just cause a many more headaches for Russia. Low-level chaos is good, but a general regional conflagration is not good.
Malcolm?
How does that relate to the Iran, Russia, China, North Korea growing alliance presence in the region? Do you see that being activated to counterbalance American, British, and other presence, whether regarding the Houthis or regarding the Iran-Israeli confrontation? How do you think that coalescence plays out against the West?
So as Russia's relations with the West have deteriorated before the full-scale invasion, and especially after, they've looked to strengthen ties with non-Western countries. So China is the most important of that group, but there's also Iran, North Korea, others. India is a vital economic partner that's had long-standing ties to Russia, including in the defense industrial space. The global South, so-called, especially Africa, certain Latin American countries, certain Middle Eastern countries like the UAE, these are those who Moscow is trying to cultivate relations with to counterbalance and make up for its loss of economic activity and sources of military industrial components, et cetera, from the West.
John, the relationship between Moscow and North Korea, we were given to understand it had to do with artillery shells, selling from the arsenal. Anything larger than that being bought by Russia from North Korea, anything like short-range or long-range missiles, ballistic missiles, anything like that?
Moscow has received a number of short-range ballistic missiles from North Korea, KN-23. They haven't performed terribly well in Ukraine. It seems most of them have missed or exploded midair. So really the most important thing is, as you mentioned, the artillery shells. North Korea has provided millions, perhaps even 4 or 5 million artillery shells and rockets, among other weapons, to Russia. So that's been really important for the Russian military, which is relies heavily on artillery, and it's provided a greater quantitative advantage in artillery fire relative to Ukrainians, and really made up for a shortfall in Russia's own production.
What about people, John? Are there North Koreans in Ukraine?
There's been a lot of claims about this even before this year. I have yet to see anything that would confirm it. It sounds like if it does happen, it'd be basically construction workers or military engineers involved in rebuilding or certain destroyed cities like Mariupol, or maybe building fortifications in the rear.
Right.
But it's not something that's going to be very significant for the world.
John Hardy of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Malcolm Hoenlein. I'm John Patrick.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.